Amazon 5-star Theater presents Real Customer Reviews, performed by Ed Helms. Tonight's review, Tactical Jacket. I was living a simple life. Didn't get out much. Then, I bought this jacket, and everything changed. Women came flocking to me from lands domestic and foreign. On the 245-day sailboat voyage home, I was attacked by a shark. I knew it was the jacket he was after. Giving up the jacket in exchange for my life. 5 stars. Amazon customer 69. Shop the perfect gift this holiday on Amazon.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. The Department of Justice, much in the news, with a new attorney general replacing Merrick Garland, who was in his post for 4 years, and during that time, there were a number of prosecutions that are now understood to be political. One that you don't see right away, however, is the antitrust law under the Department of Justice, administered by the office that was attached to a protege of the Democratic Party. Her name is Lina Khan, very young, and wrote a thesis, I understand, at Yale University, that argued very straightforwardly that antitrust could be used to benefit the consumer, that bigness was to be watched very carefully. I welcome Thaddeus McCotter, writing in American Greatness about Lina Khan's time and what united her opinion of disparate companies. I mentioned that the early suits that were gained attention at the FTC were the suit against Meta, that's the former Facebook, and the suit against Amazon, that's Amazon. There were also suits against Microsoft for its acquisition of an electronic game company, against Tapestry, that's a fashion industry, for its acquisition, its attempted acquisition of Capri, and Kroger's, that's a grocery store, for its attempted acquisition of Albertsons. Thaddeus, a very good evening to you. What was the thinking for Lina Khan to take on all these very large lawsuits, some of which she was successful in blocking, but not the big top-line names? Good evening to you.
Good evening to you, John. As you recall, back in the day during the era of too big to fail, we opposed that. We opposed the big banks. We intrinsically understood that it was unfair in a constitutional republic where all citizens are created equal, that any entity could be considered too big to fail. But we did not oppose that and then put forward the concept that something should be too big to live. Under antitrust law, which is very important, and it is very important in antitrust law to have an objective standard by which to make these determinations, especially in the era of a weaponized DOJ, which was under the control of someone like Merrick Garland and Joe Biden. When you look at it, John, if you are not careful with the strict application of an objective standard, in this case, the consumer welfare standard, or consumers being harmed by the entity being examined, what you wind up with is the subjective selective application of antitrust laws. And it's worse than that. Not only does that allow the government to come in and start to try to regulate through the bureaucratic state, the national economy. What we've seen with Democrats through the Obama era on forward is a lot of these times they will get consent judgments, they will take any fines and then pass them out, pass them through to supportive NGOs or supportive organizations that they favor politically, or put them in their own bureaucratic budgets. And this is the very type of thing that we do not want the federal government to have. We want the impartial, equal application of an objective standard in antitrust law, and indeed with all the laws from the federal government, to prevent the very type of weaponization that the public has chosen to try to remove from the federal government.
You write specifically of an antitrust suit against Visa, which is the charge card. How so? What was the complaint by the FTC?
Well, I think it goes back to what we were talking about earlier, John. They made the sin of becoming too big. And so with that became the scrutiny, and the problem then becomes, show us where there is consumer welfare is being harmed. which I think is necessary to have evidence of that before you can trigger an investigation, let alone a lawsuit. What you also want to look at is the fact, is there competition occurring? Is there unfair competition? Is the size of the entity, the consumer welfare standard, is it being harmed because of the lack of fair competition? The ability to compete for the consumer's business? These are things that you really can't find. And so it comes back down to they're trying to replace the concept of too big to fail with too big to live, and neither one is acceptable. That's why the consumer welfare standard has been in place and served the country well for decades.
The puzzle here is, what was gained by these things? Is this an ideological statement that the Democrats want to go to the polls with? Is this about income in some fashion? Fines levied, the scorecard for the FTC? How do you gain by taking on something as successful as Visa?
I think it's very disappointing. Obviously, you have a defendant that you're looking at that is certainly not what you would call sympathetic to the vast majority of Americans. But I think it's time that you step back from the nature blaming the victim, so to speak. What you want to do is you want to step back and you look at what the populist wings in both the Republican and the Democratic parties, especially the economic populist wings. What you want to have is an objective standard both sides can agree on and both sides can support, as whether a Republican or a Democratic administration then will be able to enforce these laws where necessary. If you start to politicize or take a subjective standard or the too big to survive standard, what you're going to do is you're going to diminish the bipartisan support for antitrust legislation and antitrust suits. You're going to diminish the ability of the federal government to pursue these. And what's going to happen is the very people that you want to bring antitrust suits against are going to wind up being happier than anybody else. And that's not a good development.
The case made, you cite in your article in American Greatness, is that this is protecting the consumer. That's odd to me. Can they demonstrate that on the basis of price? If we do this, this is what you'll pay. If we do that, or if we don't do this, this is what you'll pay. Is that how they do this? Do they bother to sell it?
Well, which is why the consumer welfare standard is so important, because it shows concrete evidence that the consumers are, in fact, being harmed, and that it's going to be, and then there has to be a situation that has to be rectified. If you start to get into the subjective analysis and the subjective use of the too big to survive theory, what's going to happen is it allows you to begin to weaponize the government, to begin to sue larger targets that are very unsympathetic to the American people. You will get yourselves judgments. You'll get them be a consent or in court. You will then take that money. You will give it to your political supporters through their organizations or whatever wonderful name they attach to them, the NGOs or others. And then you can also stick some of that into your own budget. These are the very types of things that have to be stopped. And the reason that I wrote the article is, despite many of the successes of the initial stages of the second Trump administration, is to show that Attorney General Bondi and others have so much work ahead of them, because it's going to have to be a thorough and comprehensive review of what the Department of Justice has been doing during its weaponization under the Biden administration.
How did they get this far? Visa, you report, has 60% of the debit market. That means 40% is not Visa. How does that mean antitrust? I thought antitrust was dominating the market.
It's also dominating the market, impairing the consumer's ability to find choices, harming the economic, your economic competitors with unfair trade practices, unfair competition. There's a host of things that go into it. But again, that's why you need the objective standard, the consumer welfare standard, to be in place, John. If you don't have that, then you just have basically the antitrust version of show me the man, I'll right. show you the crime.
Has it gone away, Thaddeus? Is the Trump administration pursuing this line, or have they dropped it?
Well, it's early days, and there's a whole lot of other issues regarding the weaponization of the Department of Justice that they're going to be looking at. And I would hope, and again, part of the reason I brought this forward is that as we go forward, as the administration continues to fill out with the other appointments that are required, be they Senate confirmed or otherwise, you'll have more people, more hands on deck to be able to start addressing these types of issues.
And Lina Khan is gone. The Democrats have moved out of the DOJ and the FTC. However, there was no repudiation of them in the time and power, so we can presume they'll be coming back someday?
Well, again, you're seeing the emergence of economic populism in both parties. You see people like Senator Josh Hawley and people like Lena Khan trying to work together, which is, again, why the absence of an objective standard diminishes the ability of people who support antitrust reform, such as myself. It makes it very difficult to find that consensus and bring that consensus through succeeding administrations, regardless of their partisanship.
Then you'd believe that Lena Khan will be back.
I don't focus this on personalities, John. I focus it on, are we going to keep the consumer welfare standard, or can we find a better, more objective standard, which is also fine. But I do not want to see a subjective standard put in place that can allow for the weaponization of antitrust law.
That is McCutter, writing at American Greatness.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk. And maybe, after all of that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way, thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all of your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something is coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel, or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of U.S. soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.